Mark chapter 6, verse 31 through 44 in our series, Christ Our Focus. The title of the message is Meeting the Needs of Thousands. After I was reviewing my notes this morning, I really thought I should have changed that title. It's too late now, so we're going with it, to I Can Meet the Needs of Thousands. Because I think this portion of Scripture is calling you and I as Christians to do exactly that. Amen? To meet the needs around us. Let us read. And he said to them, Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, You give them something to eat. And they said to him, Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, How many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture, Lord, where a miracle happens, O Lord, and where you multiply food, O Father God, and feed through your Son, 5,000 men, their wives, and their children, O Lord. And Father, we thank you for this miracle because in it you're going to show us some important biblical truths. Open our hearts. Open our ears, open our minds, that we could understand that which you have for us, O Lord. In Christ's name, for his sake, in the kingdom of God we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want to kind of recap what we talked about last week. Last week we saw Jesus sending the disciples out. In the middle of that, the story was broken, wasn't it? And we saw John, the baptizer, being executed for his faith. And then we saw the disciples come back to Christ. In that second part of our story last week, we saw King Herod offering up a banquet. He invited the best of the best in society, political allies, and people to whom he wished to have a political allegiance to. He was trying to shore up his kingdom, and so there was a hidden purpose for the banquet. In other words, he didn't just give the banquet because he felt like being a nice guy and blessing people. There were people there of consequence, and so he had an agenda, a political agenda, but he had an agenda. In this portion of Scripture, typically like Mark does, he shows us a contrast. There will be a banquet in this portion of Scripture too. Right? And just like Herod gave a banquet and he had a hidden agenda, Jesus is going to give a banquet, but his agenda is quite open for you to understand, for you to see. Jesus is concerned with the spiritual, Herod is concerned with the political. Correct? And so you're going to see in this portion of Scripture that the way that God does things and the way the world does things are totally different. The world seeks to promote itself, but God, Christ, seeks to promote the kingdom of God and how he can best help people. And so you as a Christian are going to decide, how are you going to live your life? Amen? How are you going to live your life? If today you are here, and if you're scared to talk to others about Jesus or scared to be who God's called you to be in front of others, if you need encouragement today in sharing your faith and reaching out to people, I pray that today's message would do that, just that. Today's message is one geared upon, this portion of Scripture is one geared upon us as Christians to look at and realize that as Christians, we are not sufficient within ourselves to meet the need out there, but that Jesus Christ is sufficient. And that he will take what we have and he will multiply it. Amen? And so I pray that you will see that in our portions of Scripture. This banquet then is the only miracle, listen, the only miracle repeated in all 4 Gospels. All four Gospels have this, including John's, has this meeting of the need of these thousands of people by Christ recorded. So let's look at verse 31 and 32, shall we? Let's read those again. It says, "And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." Immediately we see here a time of rest that is needed. When you are involved in ministry, sometimes ministry becomes too much. And you need a time to separate yourself, not from God, but from ministry, so that you can run to God and be at His feet. Listen, Jesus understood that His disciples had just gone out in a long mission trip. They had preached to all of the surrounding villages in Israel. They had come back. They were rejoicing. God had done a great work. But He realized then when they started meeting the need of the people that they didn't even have time to eat according to the Word of God. And so after all this time being spent in ministry, it was time for them to separate themselves from ministry for a little bit and take a breather with Christ. Amen? And that's a good thing. I think as pastors sometimes and ministers, we keep going 1,000 miles per hour thinking there's so much to do. And we stop. Sometimes we forget that our primary ministry is to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from Him. Correct? And maybe you're that way too. Maybe you're busy. How many of you are busy? And how many of you are busy doing, and sometimes forget to take time for what's really important? Anyone in this room? Amen? And so, this is an injunction by God for you and I to realize that this, listen, the prerequisite for being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not busyness, but the prerequisite with being a disciple of Jesus Christ is being with Jesus. And this is the lesson, isn't it, that Martha learned when she was busy serving and ministering to people, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening, and Martha looked at her with disdain and says to Jesus, "How come she's not helping me in the kitchen and taking all these things? Tell her to help me, that lazy no good." Right? Paraphrasing, obviously. And Jesus says, "Martha, she has picked the better part. She's picked the part where she's sitting down and listening and growing. I'm not going to take that away from her. If you want to be running around like a chicken with her head cut off, go ahead. But she's chosen to sit at my feet and to listen to my words. That's the best part. I want her to have that." And I read this portion of Scripture, and I don't know about you, but it convicts me, doesn't it? Because I can be a very busy person. I can have 1,000 things in my head and forget the best part of everything is to spend time with Jesus Christ. Amen. To separate myself from the busyness, to open my Bible, to read, to pray, to seek God, and to let God minister unto me. So I pray that you won't be like me. I hope that you're better and that you put aside the things sometimes. Put away the... Listen, the busyness is always going to be there. Amen? Can you ever cure the world's hunger problem? Can you cure the world's poorness problem? As a matter of fact, didn't Jesus say once to them, to His disciples, "says the poor you will always have but with you." And so that Christ recognized, no matter what we do, there's always going to be an avenue of ministry in this world because this world is fallen. So that you need to stop and think that I need a break. I need not a break from God, but a break with God. Amen? And that's what's going on. So Jesus then says, "Come to me, come with me to a desolate place by themselves." Right? So that He can minister to them. But as always seems the case, sometimes when you separate yourself, ministry follows. And that is another truth about ministry. Sometimes I have the best intentions, but God drops something in my life and I realize that it's God. Right? And so that I need to minister. And that's what happened with the disciples. Look at verse 33. "Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them." So that Jesus has come with me, they get on the boat, they're going to leave, the people realize where they're going, and they all run from all the towns, and when Jesus gets off the boat at this desolate place, He finds that it's not desolate at all. But there are thousands upon thousands of people there. And I ask you, what is the heart of Jesus? Notice that they followed. Notice that they interrupted. Notice that they were rude. Would you agree with that statement? What did Jesus want? Time off with his disciples. What did the disciples desperately need? Time off with Jesus. And these people go to where Jesus is going, recognizing that it's a desolate place. They go there anyway because they have a need. How will Jesus react to these people? How will Jesus react to this interruption? Will he bid them leave? Will he kick them out? Will he say to them, you know guys, this is my quiet time and you're interrupting, so there's a door, go ahead and leave. Is that the heart of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters? Well, no. Look at verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Notice the word that describes Jesus in verse 34 is the word compassion. Can you say that word with me? Compassion. I think that this world today is missing just that. We're missing compassion. We laugh at things probably we shouldn't laugh. We see someone else's misery sometimes, and we take perverse joy as a world. And we have very little compassion for our fellow men. Have you ever said this? Well, it serves him right. Has those words ever come out of your mouth? Or he got what he so richly deserves? I think that we lack compassion, don't we, as a people? As men, as women, as Americans, as human beings, we lack compassion. We lack that heart. And I want you to understand that Christ was quite the opposite. Jesus did not bid the crowd to leave, but instead he looked upon the crowd with compassion. That Greek word for compassion there is only used of Jesus in the New Testament. And it's a compassion that leads him to do something. It wasn't that he just saw them and said, oh, poor babies. But that he saw them and he wanted to do something for them. I want you to consider John chapter 6 verse 37. In John chapter 6 verse 37, the word of God reads as follows. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, everyone finish it, I will never cast out. Did you catch that? So that Jesus says, if people come to him, he will never what? Cast them out. He just can't do it. It's not in his nature to say to someone, I don't want you, I don't want to be bothered by you, leave me alone. That is not the nature of Jesus Christ. And I praise God for that. Because for that heart that he has, that for that reason, I am standing before you as a Christian. Because he took me and he had compassion on me. A while back ago, my wife left the home and I was there with my girls. It was about 3 years ago. And we have two dogs. I don't know if you guys knew that. And that's two too many, by the way. That's the way I feel. Okay? And we didn't have our backyard fenced in. And at our window in the backyard, pawing with curly little hair and those sad puppy dog eyes, was a dog. In the cold, shivering. Okay? And my daughter, Sarah, said, Dad, I hear something in the back. And so I ended up looking and sitting right there with that look, let me in, I want to be your dog. Was this stray dog? And I was not moved to compassion. I was like, go away. Because the moment my girls see this dog, you know what was going to happen. That high-pitched girl, I can't even make the sound, but you know that sound that comes. Right? And exactly what happened, my girls. You know, Daddy, he's alone. He needs somebody to love him and that kind of stuff. Needless to say, against my better judgment, I let the dog in. I called the security. We live in a place that has security. And they said, we'll come and pick him up. And I said, good news, girl. Security's going to come and pick up the dog. And my daughter Sarah asked the faithful question, what will happen if they don't find his owner? And one of my daughters said, they'll gas him. To which Sarah said, what does that mean? And my daughter, to my horror, started to explain what it meant. Sarah was near tears, and I was the big jerk getting rid of the dog. So I told the girls he can stay until we find his owner. But mark my words, he is not staying indefinitely. And the girls, thank you, Daddy, this is what I wanted for Christmas. And I'm like, no, you didn't listen. The dog quickly got a name, and I was thinking, oh my Lord, I'm doomed. Luckily, security called and said we found their owner. And I was like, oh, sorry, girls. They were pretty broken up about it. They wanted that puppy so badly. I tell you this story, not only because it's funny, but the thought of, I was thinking about what is compassion. Compassion reaches out to those who are not wanted, are not loved, and compassion brings them in. And that day, my girls had a more compassionate heart for an animal, I think, that sometimes we as human beings have for other human beings. Amen? We don't show that love. We don't show that mercy. We see someone at the door. We see someone in need. And we can explain all the thousands of reasons why we shouldn't get involved. I'm not asking you to go and take every homeless person home. It's probably not the smartest idea. But I am asking you to have a more compassionate heart to those people around you whom you know are hurting. Amen? And who need Christ. We can have sometimes compassion for an animal, but not for people. Yet people are made in the image of God. And it's just a story, it's something that stuck with me, and I hope that will stick with you when you think of compassion. How is the compassion of Jesus manifested towards this group of people, according to the Word of God? Well, He saw them as what? Sheep without a shepherd. He saw them, according to verse 34, listen, compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And He began to what? Teach them. So that the compassion of Jesus is demonstrated for this people in one way. He meet their greatest needs. What was their greatest need? To hear the Word of God. And so, I'm going to ask you to pay attention to me right now. How can you show great compassion to those around you, everyone? Telling them, yeah. Preaching, teaching them how to come to Christ as Lord and Savior. That's really what the world needs, right?
Amen.
I can give all the money that I have, and you can give all the money that you have to the poor, right? But if and we can help them, and we can buy food, and we can take care of them. But if they die as sinners and unrepentant, what have we really done? Nothing of everlasting value, correct? So that the greatest need that human beings have, and I know most of you agree with me on this, is the fact that they have a need for Jesus Christ and that we need to teach them. Notice that Jesus had compassion on them. He saw them as sheep. He saw them as a sheep that weren't being led. They didn't have a leader. They didn't have someone taking care of them. And His heart, full of compassion, that said, I will be their leader. I will take care of them. And what did He do? He began to teach them. How did He show compassion? He what? Taught them. How did He show them love? He what? He taught them. How did He show compassion to them? He brought them the Word of God.
Amen.
It is a mistake to read this portion of Scripture and think that the greatest part of the Scripture is the food, that Jesus met their physical need. It's easy to read this portion of Scripture and think, oh, Jesus fed them because He was compassionate. And yes, that is true. But His compassion, according to the Word of God, is extended to just more than meeting their physical needs. That's part of it. But the spiritual need was more important to Christ. Notice He didn't feed them first, right? Bread. He fed them first the Word of God. And when He had fed them spiritually, then He says, oh yeah, let's take care of your physical needs as well. So that is a byproduct, right? So when you give that $5 to that homeless person, you're meeting a physical need, and praise God for that. But the bigger problem lies, the bigger need is still there. Amen? The need for that person to hear about whom? Jesus Christ. Don't you agree? Isn't that what's going to change a life? Isn't that what's going to make someone better in the kingdom of God and seek God more fully? Amen? Isn't that what's going to change a life so that it's unrecognizable? Many of you have experienced that change that God brings to life. Amen? That salvation process. And so you know that that's the only thing that can help our world. So that Jesus' compassion is manifested in meeting their biggest need. Compassion should drive you and I to ministry. Jesus sees that people without a shepherd, without direction, without a leader. And that's the way you should be looking at this world. Who are we following in this world? Are we following our illustrious president?
No.
God, I hope not. Right? But we following anyone in Congress? Is any political party there going to save this country? I don't care which way you vote. Would you agree that they have no idea what they're doing? And if you look around the world, if you look at the monarchies, they have no idea what they're doing. And the dictatorships, they're only there to serve themselves. Who in this world is going to lead these people? Well, there's only one person that can lead. And lead well. One person that is a shepherd that was willing. Do you think that our president, our Congress would die for you?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
No, they'll send you into death. But they won't die for you. There's only one leader that has died on the cross to take care of the greatest need that humanity has. That of our sin problem. And he's the same one that showed compassion on these people. He's the same one that taught them. He's the same one that was going to die for them. After he fed them, they rejected him, and he would still go to the cross and die for him. There's only one person that's qualified to lead, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So are you driven to meet the need of people around us because you're compassionate? I want you to stop and answer that question in your own heart. How compassionate are you? Perhaps right now you're going, uh-oh, Lord, I have a problem. And then I don't tend to show compassion. Perhaps you're saying, I'm somewhat compassionate, so perhaps you're one of the most compassionate people out there. I don't know. Only you and God knows this. But I'm going to ask you to consider, if you really love Christ, shouldn't you be more compassionate?
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? Let's look at verse 35 and 36. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Notice the disciples realize it's getting late. These people must be hungry. And they realize that there is a crisis brewing. If Christ keeps them any longer, there's going to be some sort of revolt. Not openly, but you know, the stomach's going to start grumbling. People are going to get hungry. And so they said, there is a problem, and the practical way to deal with the problem is to send the problem away. Does this speak to you in any way? It should. You should be sitting here going, yeah, that speaks to me, Pastor. I know that everyone here has a tendency, we all have tendencies, because we're human beings, to ignore the problem and hope that it goes away or send the problem away. It's not my problem. There's nothing I can do to fix the problem, so that then I'm going to send the problem away and hope that it resolves itself. And to the disciples' credit, these people would have gone and hopefully found something to eat somewhere. So this mass of humanity has a need that they know. Listen, the disciples know they cannot fulfill that need. I don't blame them, do you? Oh, you know what's going to happen at the end, so you're sitting there, you should have met that need. But if you have been there and you have been part of this story, you would have done the same thing. You would have said, well, we don't have the resources, so what? Send them away. I don't blame them. Because the disciples knew what they had and what they didn't have, and they knew that what they did have wasn't sufficient for this group. So what are they supposed to do? This verse then becomes a great indictment against those of us that see a spiritual need, a wayward soul, and refuse to help because we are insufficient within ourselves. Let me ask you a question. How many of you feel a lot of times like you're insufficient for this Christian walk? Amen. Good. Praise God. Then you're the people that God's going to use.
Amen.
Amen. It is quite possible for you to look and be overwhelmed. I know that there are times I just feel overwhelmed. I say, look, there's just sin, brokenness. As a teacher in a public school setting, I see families that are divorcing, that have been divorced, that are on their fourth, fifth marriage. Kids who are just off in every direction. I've had kids that come from drugs. I've had kids who are now in their fourth foster home, right? And the next stop is a boys' ranch. And you look at all this over and over again, and you see parents who don't have any clue of how to be good parents sometimes. And the kids just being destroyed by parents' decisions. And it's quite says, Lord, it's too much. I can't do this. I don't have the ability to meet all these needs. And you know what the answer to that question is? It's true. I'm right. My assessment is 100% right. There's nothing I, within myself, can do by myself to meet this need. The need is too great for me. But what the disciples have forgotten is they were with someone. They were with Jesus Christ. And they had seen Him over and over and over again meet the needs of all those people around Him. And they should have known that He could have met that. They should have known that He could have met this need.
Yeah.
And I have a tendency to say, Lord, I can't. And God's saying, who's asking you? I'm not asking you to meet the need on your own. You know how I operate. Now, God does use human resources, doesn't He? He does use human means, to meet the needs of people. But He's not asking me within myself, by my own ability to take care of all the problems out there. Because I can't. So, because they can't, they said, because I can't take care of them all, I won't even minister to one. And that is a sad indictment, isn't it? Let's look at verse 37. But He answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to Him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? Does Jesus help the problem or make the problem worse? Well, He makes the problem worse. They come to Him and say, we don't have the resources, let's send them away. There's a crisis brewing. And instead of Jesus saying, yes, 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 you're right. Guys, we're done teaching for today. If you want to hear more teaching tomorrow, meet me at this place at this time. Make sure this time you bring a picnic lunch. Alright? And we're going to take care of your need, your spiritual need tomorrow. Jesus could have done that, and the disciples would have been greatly relieved. Correct? But Jesus then turns around and says, you meet the need. Now, this is not a fair question. This is not a fair command from Christ. They can't meet the need. But Christ is trying to teach them something, isn't He? The same thing that He's trying to teach you and I today is the fact that we have been called to meet the needs of thousands.
Amen.
And that is a scary thought for you and I, because we know what we have in our basket. And we know it's not enough. Five loaves, two what? Fish is not enough. Listen, each and every one of you has been gifted by God in some way, shape, or another.
Praise God.
But you are definitely right that your gift that God has given you so graciously is not enough. Each and every one of you has been blessed financially by God. But you're definitely right. Your finances are not enough to take care of the need out there. Each one of you has been empowered by God, been called by God, been sanctified by God, been sent by God to minister to the needs of this world. But you are right. The needs of this world are just too many for you to be able to handle. And Jesus looks at you and says, you meet the need. And you're sitting there going, God, I can't. I'm not enough. I don't have enough. And that is the point where Jesus wanted them. He wanted them to see that they were insufficient within themselves. Because He wanted them to see what He can do through them. That's an amazing part of Scripture. Listen, that is His call to you and us. Go and feed. Do what you're unable to do. Do what you're inadequate to do. Do the task that you cannot do. The disciples object. They say to Him, listen, we don't have the resources. We don't have the gifting. We don't have the ability. We don't have the help. We don't have what it takes to help this crowd. Are they right? They're absolutely right. I know I've told Christ when He called me into ministry, I don't have what it takes. Yes, I know. But I have what it takes, says the Lord.
Amen.
And that gifting that I've given you the gifting to teach the Word of God. I'm going to multiply that. And you're going to feed thousands upon thousands of people. Little by little. God is working in me. As I'm sure He's working in you, and continues to work through us as a group. Amen? And that's what you need to see. Listen, the Bible is full of examples of people who told God, no, not me. Are you crazy? The need is too big. The disciples, like Moses, see the impossibility of the request. How many of you have ever read the story of Moses before? Hopefully a lot of hands. Praise God. Numbers 11:13. When the people are in the wilderness and they are hungry, they want meat. This is Moses, and they're complaining against Moses. This is what Moses does. Moses comes to the Lord and says the following: where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, give us meat that we may eat. And then Numbers 11:22 says, shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them and be enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them and be enough for them? So notice Moses is saying, they want meat. Where am I supposed to get everyone the meat? I can't get all the fish in the sea to feed this multitude of millions of people. I don't have enough flocks. What am I supposed to do, God? Moses is in the same place, isn't he? As the disciples. This is too much. And what does God do? God provides. And as a Christian, listen, this is going to be hard for you to hear. You need to trust that God is going to provide. And He's going to provide using means. And the means He's going to use is you. How many of you are getting it this morning? Are you getting it? Good, praise God, because I'm hoping you're getting it. God wants to use you. God is going to use you. God is going to multiply you. But God wants you to realize that you can't meet the need and fall upon Him. Listen, there are two choices you can make when you realize you can't meet the need. You can say, I can't meet the need, so I'm not going to help anything. I'm done. Shut her down. That is not God's heart. Right? Or you can say, I can't meet this need. It's overwhelming. Lord, help me meet this need. And that is the heart of Jesus Christ. A compassionate heart. And you're going to have to realize, you're going to have to take stock in your life and say, how am I going to live for God? Amen? Am I going to have a compassionate heart like Christ? Or am I going to say, hey, a compassionate heart hurts, so I'm just going to shut her down and keep it all closed in. And hopefully they can find somewhere they can go and take care of their own needs. Let them go talk to Pastor Ismail. He's so good at explaining things. Amen? When God brought them to you, He didn't bring them to me. Amen? Many people do that. Well, I'm going to give your number to my pastor and let him talk to you. You know what that is? It's passing the buck. God is bringing them to you. And listen, can you give me their number and ask me to speak with them and pray with them? Absolutely. But does that absolve you of your responsibility before God? No. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I love it when I see you bringing people to church. And then I see you leaving together. You're going to go to lunch. You're going to talk about things further. Because I see that you're meeting needs. And that is to me a blessing. Amen? I love it when I see you passing out tracts or getting up in front of a mall and singing to the Lord like crazy people, right? I love it. Because you're meeting needs out there. You don't know, you have no idea if someone stopped and said, why are these people like this? Right? You don't know what happened. We didn't see any converts. We didn't see anybody falling on their knees and crying to Christ. But you don't know how God multiplied that. You have no idea sometimes. Amen? What God is doing. Verse 38 through 40. And He, Jesus, said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then He commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. Jesus is so clever. Okay? There's a very true lesson for the disciples here. But guess what? There's a very true lesson for you and I. The question that Jesus asks is the question that He asks you. Okay, you're telling me that the need is too great and you can't possibly meet. What do you have? And isn't that a great question? Because that settles it, right? What is it that you do have? Don't tell me what you don't have, says Jesus. And don't tell me what you can do. What is it that I've gifted you with? What is it that I've blessed you with? What is it that you do have? Let's not focus in on what I can't do. Let's focus in on what God has given me.
Amen?
Amen? Because, again, when you see that huge need, it's easy to say, it's too big, I don't have enough. But God has given me this mouth, and He has given me this tongue, and He has given me the ability to read the Scriptures. And listen, I hope this doesn't sound prideful, I don't mean it to be, but I understand the Scriptures better than most people. Okay? That's why He's called me to be a pastor. I get it. Okay? And that's why you're sitting here, hopefully, because you realize pastor has something to say. He studies, God talks to him, God opens his eyes, and He opens the Scriptures so I can go, oh, I get it now. Right? Hopefully that's why you're here. Right? And so I understand what He has given me. So yes, I can meet the needs of everybody else. But what is it, Ismael, that you do have? Well, I have the gift of teaching the Word of God. Then use that gift. Little by little, says God, use that gift. And at the end of your life, you're going to realize that you have ministered to what? Thousands of people.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
So don't focus on what's not there. Focus on what God's giving you. Some of you have a heart of hospitality. Praise God. God's giving you that. Right? Some of you have that gift of evangelism. Some of you have a gift of prayer. You love to pray and seek God. Don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on what God has given you. They had five fish and two loaves. And they should know that five loaves and two fish. Thank you. That is enough in the hands of whom? Jesus Christ. Who made the world? Who made the sea? Who made the fish within the sea? Who made the grain so that you can have bread? Who makes all of it? Everyone. God. So if God's gifted me with fish, and I look and I say, oh my goodness, it's not enough. And so I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to use this until it's all gone. God's going to, you're going to realize and go, wow. Like the widow whose oil multiplied. You're going to be going, how is this going on? How did all these people get fed from what I started with? Isn't that what God is telling us in this story? And I need you to see that, okay? Christ asked them for the totality of their provisions. The totality of their provision is laughable. They cannot possibly meet the need of 10 people, let alone 5,000 men. And by the way, when the Bible says 5,000 men, it's not counting the women and the children that were present. So conservatively, this group is at 10,000 people, minimum. Okay, imagine that. And you have five loaves and two fish. Would you have felt comfortable in that? No. Right? Christ asks you, what do you have? Listen, some of us have small faith, and I get that. But that small faith can be increased by God. Let's look at Romans 12:3. Romans 12:3 reads the following way. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Did you catch that? Each one of you has a different measure of faith assigned to you by whom? By God. So that you have those faithful people that have that great faith, and you're like, Lord, wow. And sometimes you and your faith, you seem to struggle and fall more often than others, and you're going, Lord, what's going on? God has assigned you a measure of faith. Use whatever God has assigned you. Use whatever God has given you for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
God has gifted all of us. He has given all of you provisions. And He multiplies those provisions. You might be sitting here going, I don't even know what my gift is. Anybody feel that way? Oh, you all know what your gift is? Praise God. Awesome. But in case you were there, God has all given you a mouth and a tongue. And the ability to speak. Speak. Open it. Let it flow. Amen?
Amen.
Notice how God meets needs. I love this. How many people were there conservatively? About what? 10,000 people? Did Jesus say to all the 10,000 people, come here? Did He? He divided them, didn't He? In groups of what? Hundreds and fifties. And they went from group to group. God meets the needs of people, little by little, group by group, person by person. Okay, Lord. Don't look at the 10,000. Look at the group of what? 50. Still not enough food. But at least I feel better. Right? And listen, as God multiplies your provisions, don't focus on the big number. Focus in on what's in front of you.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
Little by little, at the end of your life, you're going to turn around and you're going to say, wow, I fed that many people with this life. And you're going to be blown away. I don't know how many people are going to be in heaven going, thank you, Pastor Ismael. And I'll be one of the people thanking somebody else. Thank you, because of your ministry, I'm here. And they're going to say, because of your ministry, I'm here. And someone's going to, but because of that person's ministry, because if I talk to one person, listen, and that one person comes to the Lord, and he talks to another person, and that comes to the Lord, and that person, all that can be traced up to where? To me. But it's also traced up to the person who brought me.
Amen.
And all the way down to the apostles, and all the way to Jesus Christ Himself, who's the giver of all things. So that really, have you ever heard of the pyramid scheme? It's the only place where it works. It's in Scripture. Okay? So anybody wants your pyramid money, don't listen. But in Scripture, it's the only way it works, right? Because you talk to people and it grows like this. And there are people going to heaven that I never ministered to, never talked to, didn't even know. But they were ministered to by somebody who was ministered by somebody who was ministered by somebody to whom I spoke to and who came to the Lord.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And so I fed that need without even knowing the person. Little by little, person by person, 50 by 50, 100 by 100, group by group. Amen? Does that make you feel better? Anyone? Yeah, take a deep breath, right? That makes me feel better. Don't look at the numbers. Look at what God has placed in front of you. Meet that need as best you can by the grace of God. Commit yourself saying, God, increase me to meet this need. And then little by little, you're going to turn around and say, man, wow, God, you've used this life immensely. Let's look at verse 41. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. I love this verse. Verse 41. The impossibility of Jesus Christ. He gets the bread. He gets the fish. He lives with us. Thank you, Lord, for this food that we're all about to eat from. I could just see the disciples going, what's up with him? Would you have thanked God for the 5 loaves and the 2 fish in that situation?
Yeah,
not. Okay, let me put it this way. Would you have thanked them because, oh, I'm going to eat this. I don't know what they're all going to eat. So thank you, Lord. This is more than enough for me.
Yeah.
Okay, or would you have said, thank you, Lord, for this food and we're all going to eat unto you? Would you have been thankful? Or would you have said, Lord, we need more?
Yeah.
You see, most likely, if it were just for you, more than enough food. Thank you very much. I might even share with my wife. Okay? Depending on how much she's willing to take. Right? But, if I start looking at 5,000 people, I'm not, all of a sudden, I'm not thankful for these 5 loaves and 2 fish. I'm telling the Lord, you got to do something here. Right? Give me more provisions. He thanks God for what his disciples will bring to him. It is insufficient, and yet he gives thanks for their little, and then he begins to multiply it. Here's a great mystery, brothers. God, Jesus, thanks God the Father for what his disciples had brought to him. Wow. What are you bringing to the Lord? It's a good question to ask, right? What do you bring? God is thankful for what you bring to him, and then whatever little you bring to him, which can't possibly, you can't take the credit. Well, I brought the loaves. Well, yeah, but if God hadn't done anything, what would have been mattered, right? Bring the little that you have to Jesus. Give thanks for the little you have. You serve an impossible God. Amen? He's an impossible God. Let's look at verse 42. And they all ate and were satisfied. How many of you think that verse is an amazing verse? Anyone else in here beside me? Listen, it wasn't that they ate, that each one got a crumb, you know, or whatever, and said, thank you, Jesus, so much. When are we leaving so we can go to Jack in a Box? Right? Have you ever been to someone's house and they fed you, but it just wasn't quite enough? Come on. No one wants to admit it, but yes, you've been there, right? So when you leave, you have to stop somewhere else because you're still hungry. You didn't want to ask.
Mm-hmm. So
it's not the way it happened with Christ. The Bible says they ate, but not only did they eat, but they were what? Satisfied. So they were like, oh, no more, thank you. Best fish I've ever had, but no thanks. I can't eat another bite. Instead of begrudging how little we have, let's give thanks for what He is going to do with our meager efforts. Say amen to that. Instead of saying, Lord, I don't have enough, say, Lord, I know that the little I have, you're going to use. Praise God for that. This is an incredible truth and one that you need to listen. This miracle of meeting the needs of the hungry, parallel to evangelism and reaching out to the lost, required both human resources and the disciples. It required the disciples to bring human resources to Jesus. Correct? Yes, the fish was not enough. Yes, the bread was not enough. But we started with the fish and the bread. Would you agree with that statement? Jesus started with the fish and the bread. He says, bring me what you have. This is an incredible truth for you. Listen, Christ works through humans, you, and through your resources, your giftings, your blessings. Amen?
Amen.
And He takes that and He multiplies that. God doesn't need you, yet God chooses to work with you. You can't take the credit, because at the end you're like, come on, seriously, all those people were fed? I know that wasn't me, that was whom? God. But you know you had a part in it. That's amazing. I am constantly, I'm going to use the fancy word, befuddled, I guess, when I read in the Word of God that God used Paul, God used Peter, God used Moses, God used Isaiah, God used Jeremiah, God used people, God used means, God asked them to bring things to Himself, right, so that He can use. Because God doesn't need us, but He chooses to work in cooperation with us. Granted, the glory goes to Him, because what He does with what we bring Him is just mind-boggling. But He chooses to work with us. And let me show you an example of that. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 20. Jesus has been crucified, He's been resurrected, and He's about to ascend to heaven. Listen, He says to them, and He said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in My name. They will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after He had spoken to them, was taken up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Now listen to verse 20. And they, the disciples, went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Did you catch that part? The Lord what? Why? Why would God want to work with me? But God uses human means, doesn't He?
Amen.
So that the Lord what, everyone? Worked with them. God is going to work with you. He will do the heavy lifting.
Yes.
Just bring what you bring to God. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15:58, following the same train of thought, says the following. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. 5 loaves, 2 fish, apart from the Lord, would have been in vain in that situation. But in the Lord, my labor is not what? In vain. He will meet needs. And one more verse for you to consider. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, which really boggles my mind, and I hope it does you too. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, meaning this world, what sort of people should Christians be? Should you ought to be in the lives of holiness and godliness? Waiting for, listen, and what? Hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Did you catch what that word? Hasten the coming of the Lord. Well, I thought that was all in God's prerogative, isn't it? How can I hasten the coming of the Lord? By doing the work of God. He's working with me. And when the work of God is finished, our Lord Jesus Christ will come. Amen? So the Bible says, hastening the day of the Lord. How should you live? He says, live in this way. Preach the gospel. Go out, hastening the day of the Lord. Wow, my brothers, God's working through you, with you. Bring your resources to God. Let's look at verse 43. And they took up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. This last portion of Scripture is one that you really need to take care of. What happened at the end, everybody? There were 12 baskets. Why 12? That's a good question. How many disciples were there?
12.
How many tribes of Israel?
12.
Okay. There's symbolism going on there, right? But at the end, did they have more than what they had at the beginning?
Yes.
How can that be? How can you end your life by having been used by God and spread to feed that many? How can at the end of your life you be better off than when you started?
Yes, Jesus.
Is that amazing?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Listen, what was left was broken pieces, fragments. At the end you will be broken. You will be in pieces. But there will be more of you left at the end than when you started. this doesn't compute. It's impossible that it works this way. Exactly. That's why it's in the hand and the realm of God, isn't it? My brothers and my sisters, if I spend my life feeding groups, people by people, right? Small group by small group, bringing my meager resources to God, saying, bringing my meager gifts to God, saying, Lord, multiply them. And I start feeding and I start feeding and I start feeding. At the end of my life, I'm going to turn around and see this whole multitude of people that I fed by the grace of God. And there will be more of me left, broken, just the way God likes me, by the way, broken, right, than when I started. And I'm going to say, how can that be? And Jesus will probably just smile at me and say, because of me. Amen? So that literally they had 12 baskets full. They could have fed everyone. More people. That was the leftovers, with the part that people said, I can't eat anymore. Please take it away. I've eaten too much. You ever felt that way? Thanksgiving, right? No more. No more. That's it, right? I'm up to here. They could have had, they had 12 baskets. They could have gone and fed others. So there's a spiritual lesson here that God will feed a multitude of people through your life, and at the end of your life, when God calls you home, you're going to say, Lord, but wait, I can still do more. And God said, no, that's enough. That's enough. 12 baskets left, broken in pieces. And the Bible says, quite frankly, in verse 44, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. So, okay. Well, you know, just a small thing for God, right? The disciples had big groups in their eyes, going, this is impossible. The Bible says it was 5,000 men, and their women and their children, so do the math, bunch of thousands of people. And it's no big deal, is it? Mark 6:44 says it was 5,000 men. It was no big deal for God. My brothers and my sisters, this is the way you and I should be ministering to those out there. Amen? So what have we learned today? I want to recap real quickly. First of all, we need time alone with Christ sometimes. Say amen.
Amen.
Ministry can be much. And I realize that. I know that when we go camping, you know, for that week, it's kind of like, oh, praise God. You know what I mean? Nothing else matters. It's just me and my family. It's, you know, and then I get my Bible in the morning and see the sunrise and, oh, yeah, this is great. Sometimes we need those moments in our lives. Amen? Sometimes ministry is going to follow us, even when we want that moment. And that's fine, too. When God deems that to be the case, that be the case. The compassionate heart of Christ never turns anyone away. Neither should we. Amen?
Amen?
We should see them as sheep scattered without a shepherd. They need direction, whether they know it or not. Okay? And we should do the primary thing. What's the primary thing? Share the gospel. Teach. Isn't that what Jesus did all day long? And we should understand that this feeding of the thousand is a literal thing. We can feed people, but it's also a symbolic thing of evangelism, correct? How we evangelize. Don't look at the big what, everyone. Group. Look at the groups, right? The small groups. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you do have. Thank God. Don't thank God and ask for more. Thank God for what God is giving you. Correct? Bring it to Jesus. Let Him tear at it, break it. It might hurt, right? He's doing that to your life and pass you out. At the end of your life, you're going to look and you're going to see what, everyone? A myriad of people that you have fed. And you're going to say, Lord, I still can go more. And God's going to say, that's what? Enough. And you're going to realize that little in the hands of our God is everything. If He can create out of nothing, He can definitely multiply little. That's the least of what God can do. Amen? Let's stand. Let's pray. Did you learn something today? Praise God.